The reading from today is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And today, the preacher was to be our deacon, Glendy Osi, but she's under the weather, she's not feeling well, so she recorded her sermon on Friday, so we hope that this will work and you can see Glendy preach. Glendy, hi, how are you? We hope you're doing better. We're praying for you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm coming to you from my kitchen, my dining room, really, because I've got a little cough, and so I didn't want to go to church and run the risk of exposing people either to the virus or, more likely, to a springtime cold. None of us needs any little sicknesses right now. So I'm staying home. I'm glad to be with you. This is the Sunday when we sing in celebration, all glory, laud, and honor. When we sing our praises to God, when if we were together, we would walk in from the gathering space, waving our palm branches and singing our praise to the Jesus who came into Jerusalem on a donkey. We would end the service by reading together the story of the arrest of Jesus, and we would leave in silence. We're going to do that a little differently today. We're not going to read that story. We'll take care of that. We'll read those stories on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, but we are going to honor the silence and the solemnity of entering into Holy Week. And so what we'll have as our ending of the service today is the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll have the benediction, and then we'll have the song, O Sacred Head Now Wounded, and we'll leave the worship in silence. And I invite you to do that in your own homes. But we read at the beginning of this story the great description of Jesus walking into the city of Jerusalem or riding in on a donkey. He sent his disciples ahead of him to find the donkey and gave them the word of where they would find the donkey and under what circumstances and what they should say. And it all happened exactly as Jesus said. And he rode the donkey into Jerusalem, and the people threw their coats and waved palm branches and sang songs of praise, Hosanna to the Son of David, which is an important saying because David was Israel's greatest king, and Jesus was a descendant of David. So he had a legitimate right to the throne. So Jesus rode into Jerusalem as a king, and yet not quite. I've been thinking this week about the both ands of our life. We are both sinners and saints. We are both forgiven and yet feeling somewhat guilty sometimes. We are loved incredibly, and we are chosen by God, and yet in our hard times, it's hard to remember that sometimes. We do much better with either or. I'm either a conservative or I'm a liberal. I'm either a suburban person or I'm an urban person. I'm either an evangelical Christian, or I am a mainline denominational person, or I'm Catholic. We do really well when we have to sort things into one thing or the other. When a thing stays maybe gray. When like Jesus going into Jerusalem, he goes in as a king, and yet he rides in on a donkey. So he follows the practice of conquering kings by riding into the city, and at the same time, he does it on a donkey, not a steed, not a war horse, but a donkey, a very humble animal. Jesus understands both and. I want to look at a couple of the both ands in this text and think about how we might apply them to our own lives. The first is that we live in the already and the not yet. We live in a world in which Jesus has already proclaimed himself king, in which we have proclaimed Jesus king and Lord, and yet he is not yet recognized as such in every place and every time. And while we understand our evangelical responsibility to reach out to our neighbors, we are not called to set Jesus up as an earthly ruler that all people must bow to. We already live in the kingdom of God, and yet the kingdom of God is not yet fully present. We live in the already of Christ's death and resurrection, which means that we live in the time when we understand that when we die, we go into the arms of God. But we live in the not yet, when not all is reconciled to God, when we are not all in the place that we expect to be, that all is not as we would wish. We live in the already of knowing that we're working on this virus, and we live in the not yet of staying home and taking care of ourselves. These are complicated realities. We do much better when we can have it one way or the other way. But all of these things are true, and we hold them together in tension. It's one of the gifts of fellowship is that we get to remind each other that many of the things that we want to be absolutes are not. If I absolutely stay home from everywhere, I will be healthy. Maybe not. But what we know is in this already and not yet, that God is fully present, and that God loves us unconditionally. The story of Palm Sunday shows us that Jesus wants to reveal himself to the world as he has been revealed to us in our reading of Scripture. Jesus wants to reveal himself to the world, and in fact does on this Palm Sunday. And the already is that he is the king, and the not yet is that they still put him to death. So already and not yet. The other is looking at time. There are two Greek words for time. I think they're both kind of remarkable. Chronos is one, C-H-R-O-N-O-S. And chronos is like calendar time. Looking at the calendar, looking at the watch, it's the time that represents hours passing, days passing, months passing, weeks passing, and years passing. We all live in that time, but it is not the only time in which we live. We also live in the Greek word kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S. Kairos is God's time, the time when God chooses that something will happen. So, for example, on Palm Sunday, the chrono says this is maybe between 33 and 50 AD-ish when it happened. That's the calendar time. And that it was during the daytime and that it was during Passover. Those are all examples of the chronos of Palm Sunday. But the kairos of Palm Sunday, God's time, is that God revealed God's self in the person of Jesus Christ riding on a donkey into Jerusalem so that people see who he is and who we can expect him to be. An example for our time is we live in the chronos of 2020 when, ironically, gas costs less than $2 a gallon and, calendar-wise, we're all at home, so we can't take much advantage of that. Chronos is the time that says we live in a time of a pandemic. We live in the celebration of a Lenten and Easter season where we will, at the end of this week, have the best celebration of the church year. That's our chronos. But our kairos is that being home gives God an opportunity to break in and shift the lives of our churches and our families, to shift our expectations, to turn our eyes toward the things that scare us, to turn our eyes toward the things that we might be expecting but might not be expecting. It creates a time of anxiety, some of this kairos time, doesn't it? Because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what the end is going to look like. But because it's God's time, because we know that God is still with us in the church, because we know that in spite of the solemnity of Holy Week, we know that Easter is around the corner. We know that we are in God's hands. My old boss, Mark Hansen, who was presiding bishop of the ELCA for several years, talked often to us on his staff about his favorite recognition of Easter. He talked about the practice of the early church to go at midnight between Easter Saturday and Easter Sunday, to go to the cemetery, to the grave of the most recently buried person, and at the crack of midnight to proclaim the resurrection. No matter how bad things look now, we will be celebrating together the resurrection of Jesus. We will be together again as people of faith, and in God's time and in calendar time, we will come back a changed community. Can you imagine what that first Sunday of hugs is going to be like? So I invite you this week, this Holy Week, to enter into this both and of the story of Easter, of the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. Celebrate. The presence of God in the brokenness of the world, and recognize that all is not lost, and the story